What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today, we're going to talk about Atlanta. Yes, this wonderful team that could make the World Series. Actually, the second highest probability, according to Fangraphs, to win the World Series. I know, wild, because this rotation does not have depth. And I'm really surprised that Atlanta didn't go and get one more guy to add to this, as they lost Charlie Morton. And, I mean, not to say that that's a major loss, it's just... it's interesting because you have Chris Sale and Spencer Strider. Now, I put out a Twitter poll, two of them, saying, first, if both get 130 innings, Chris Sale and Spencer Strider, who do you think performs better? 2-1 said it's Spencer Strider. I agree with that. Then, who gets more innings? And it's 2-1 Chris Sale to Spencer Strider. And I don't know if I agree with that one. There's this understanding for ages entering last year that Chris Sale should only be expected for X amount of innings. You can't possibly think he's going to go 170 or something like that. Then he does. And then everybody changes on a dime saying there's no way you shouldn't expect 170. What? This is Chris Sale. This is a guy who hasn't pitched last year was the only year since 2017, was it? Maybe it was 18 when he hadn't been limited in some degree. And I want to remind y'all, he ended the season with back issues and didn't pitch in the postseason, right? There are a lot of reasons why Chris Sale, yes, former Cy Young winner Chris Sale, would not be who he is next year, right? He would not be able to replicate the same thing. I may have been a little down, too down on his replication of K-minus walk rate, essentially his strikeouts and walks, because when he has been Chris Sale and not really the weirdness that we've seen over the past few years, that is really who he's been. However, he did that with a harder fastball, a pitch that was like 96, 97 or so. 94.8 was last year's mark, and without a amazing changeup. The way I see it is Chris Sale should get some regression next year. Shocking, I know. But not just in the luck. It's also in the pitches themselves, where I don't know if he's going to actually be 95 throughout the entire year. I think that was a shock to everybody that he increased his velocity by a full tick last season. And also in his innings. 178 innings last year in 29 starts. You got to think it's coming down. So I've really been hesitant and really struggling to figure out where I'm going to be ranking Chris Sale. Do I put him above Spencer Strider? Do I put him below? And I think I'm going to do it below. And I know that sounds nuts. That sounds absolutely bonkers because he won you leagues last year. He was so good. But guys, that was such a peak season. And if I'm drafting pitchers in my first 20, you know, starters or so, 15, 20 starters, I don't feel comfortable going for Chris Sale. I think there are a lot of other pitchers that are just safer, that are just more under a bigger understanding of what you're getting. And I can't express this more, the quality. I know Chris Sale generally hasn't been like really bad much, but he really expecting him to be the stud of old and really of last year again, I think is asking too much. And I trust Tyler Glasnow better on a quality per inning. I trust Spencer Strider more. I trust Jacob DeGrom more on a quality per inning. So I have Chris Sale a little bit lower than others. And if you disagree with this assessment, go right ahead. You know, I really wrestled with this one. I looked in as hard as I could about this. And really the main differences to 23 and 24 were obviously health and that velocity I mentioned. Left on base rate was way better and home runs were way better. But generally when you do strike out as many batters as he did, you're going to have those benefits in home run rate and left on base rate as well. But I mean, he's going to be 36 with his massive injury track record. Like, I just, and then the heater had a 43% plus ICR to both lefties and righties last year. This just isn't going to be the same one. I'm not saying he's not going to be productive. It's just, I'm not going to go for that. And I want to talk about Spencer Strider right after this. I find myself really favoring Strider, and maybe this is too much risk because here I'm saying you want to be safe with it. And I'm suggesting going for a pitcher who we don't know when he's going to return. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I can see the future, guys. All right. I'm serious. I'm very confident in the take I'm about to give. By the end of March, you're going to see Spencer Strider inside the top 15 starters. Because he's going to pitch and be around in the spring, and all the reports are going to say, oh, he's at this velocity and he's looking great and all the good things. And yeah, everyone's just going to get hyped and realize that once May arrives, you're going to get Spencer Strider. You're not going to be limited by Spencer Strider because he's just going to, sure, it's going to be like three starts or so of him ramping up, but then it's just going to be him the rest of the way. I think there's a lot of hesitation about guys coming back from Tommy John and everyone's afraid of it. I'm not. I think that that's overblown. I think the injury risk of returning from Tommy John is the same as any other pitcher just being a pitcher. And I would argue that if it's a good surgery and he feels good in rehab, there's no setbacks, which is honestly where we're at right now and will be in a month if everything that I'm saying is true, then he has a healthy elbow. He has a healthier elbow than the guys who have not gotten Tommy John and have had a lot of workload the last 3-4 years, right? I mean, I don't really see a massive difference in that logic or a massive reason to push back on it. It is internal brace. And we did see, say, like Brian Wu maybe have some issues with an internal brace. And maybe there's something about that that I could maybe be too risky on. But at the end of the day, you get an open roster spot for April, which is more valuable than an open roster spot in June or whenever we expect Sale to go on the IL. And that means you have your hand in an extra pot when it's most valuable to have an extra hand in another pot, right? These are the guys that you want to take flyers on out of your draft, and that can make an impact in the entire year, right? So you get that with Strider's open spot. I don't know. I the way I see it is the second that May 1st arrives, everyone's going to want Strider over Sale, obviously. And he's going to be great. He's going to be like a top five pitcher after that. And I'm just saying, look, you can get through April, especially in your head-to-head leagues, like head-to-head 5x5 leagues or whatever. It's the standard stuff. You want to take Strider. So that's how I see it. I've debated this a lot. There's no right answer, I think, because it's just really your play style and what you're willing to do. For me, as someone who just absolutely loves to feast on as many things as I can out of the gate, Spencer Strider is the perfect match for your squads. Like, it's so good. That's just me. Looking to other guys, a different Spencer on this team is Spencer Schmellenbach, and he's actually one of my bigger targets for this season for many reasons. One, generally you want to draft Atlanta starters because they go long. They're not one of those teams that really favor openers, and they don't limit their guys when they have their starters. I mean, save for Grant Holmes last year, but we'll talk about him in a moment. Spencer Schmellenbach, they just let go. And I know Jason Collette has a lot of pushback about the injury history of increased workloads, what happened to Spencer Strider, and he feels that Schwellenbach's jump to about 160-plus innings between the minors and majors last year is just too much to bear. Well, I'd probably say that if Atlanta is running with Schwellenbach and he didn't show signs, which he didn't at the end of the year, of slowing down, I think that he's fine. I think, honestly, As long as pitchers are doing what they need to do to get their rest and to maintain themselves in seasons, the number of innings itself is not really the problem. It's just about what is, you know, are they capable of it or not? So I'm not really afraid of that for Schwellenbach. And what I see is a guy who's going to go every 5 days with a 90-plus pitch leash, who has an array of pitches that work, multiple pitches with a 15% plus swing strike rate, a 96-mile-per-hour fastball, six pitches with a 60% plus strike rate. Like, this is your floor with 25% plus strikeout upside. Really, I love it. I'm getting Schwellenbach in every league I can, with like Bribe, with Bailey Ober, with Justin Steele, with Max Fried, right? Those are like my five favorite guys that I want to be targeting in starting around the 7th, 8th, 9th round. Just three of those and you're set, really. Maybe you can get four of them. That's such a good rotation and such a stable one. And then you can go and take your fun chances. So yeah, I'm a huge fan, Spencer Schmalbach. I will talk about Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson, as well as, of course, all the other guys on the fringe and all that fun stuff after this break. So Grant Holmes, otherwise known as the real estate broker because he grants homes, he had three pitches last year with a 15% plus swing strike rate, 65% plus strike rate, and sub 40% ICR against right-handers. That's awesome. I didn't expect the four-seamer to be that effective, But it spotted the edges really well against right-handers. Now, against lefties, it didn't do so well. It missed a lot arm side, had about a 61% strike rate with like a 5% swinging strike rate. And I think that's really the biggest problem. But Holmes, with two breaking balls, a slider and the curve that were very effective against righties, with a four-seamer that he spots well against them, that right there should be enough for you to be intrigued. Him dominating right-handers on a winning ball club who should be allowing him to have a much longer leash this year and going six full innings, that's great. Now, sliders and curves are really good against lefties. They both had a 70% plus swing strike rate and a 24% swinging strike rate. So lots of strikes, lots of whiffs. I don't know if I said that right or wrong. I don't care. You know it now. But the slider had a 50% ICR against lefties. I think that's going to get fixed a little bit. That's probably going to change. But really what needs to happen is something else needs to help the four-seamer against lefties establish those strikes. I don't know what that's going to be. Maybe it's just better command on the four-seamer overall. Maybe it's nothing and he still has those struggles. That would be the downside of Grant Holmes. But with how well he does against right-handers, I imagine Atlanta's going to lean into this more. I'm a fan of this. I think you're going to get strikeouts definitely above 20%, if not around 25%. And solid ratios here. I feel like there will be a slight home run problem because that fastball isn't really a good shape one and it's susceptible to mistakes that can get launched. But yeah, he's pretty good, guys. And I think he's not getting enough respect in drafts at the moment. Ian Anderson's a very interesting one because we don't really know who he is right now, but Atlanta's pretty much pending him as number five. And what's going to happen in camp is saying, all right, Ian Anderson, show us what you got. If it's good enough, you'll have the SP5 spot. It was a fastball changeup combination with this curve that sometimes was really good but never really was reliable, and that's back in like 2021, and since then it wasn't very good in 2022. Demoted, Tommy John, all of this stuff. Now he's apparently healthy and ready to go. I hope he has a cutter or a slider that is helping him get strikes inside the zone because he desperately needs it, and I'm very curious what we get out of the gate. Now this is for Grant Holmes too. The first two series that Atlanta gets are the Padres and the Dodgers. Not fun. And what I talk about a lot is you want to have your flyers going against good matchups, because if these are the ones that you're adding at the end of your draft, you don't want to sit them, right? You don't want them to be unused, and then you don't really know what you're getting out of them because you wouldn't start them against those other guys. So I find myself out on Ian Anderson just for that simple reason of like, yeah, I'm not going to start him against whoever he faces if he's SP4 or 5. The Padres would be 4 and the Dodgers would be 5. Well, Grant Holmes, I do see a little bit more upside and belief in that. I would theoretically hold on to him past that first one because I think there is value. But honestly, it might mean that I favor someone else at opening weekend. It really depends on where, you know, what the draft situation is, like what the landscape is as this draft goes on, if there are other options. But Ian Anderson, I think we wait and see with this one. I don't think everyone's running to get him, but there is a lot of innate value in just being that number five on Atlanta who's trusted to go deep enough to get wins. There's something to that, and I wonder if Ian Anderson can be good enough to seize it. Bryce Elder might get an opportunity. It's possible, because if Ian Anderson isn't good, like who are they going to go to otherwise? I don't want to do this. It's a good slider and nothing else. Sometimes you get into those runs of being productive. I believe he did in 2023. But yeah, he's reserved for like a streaming option in 15 teamers, those who need a win. AJ Smith-Shawver really isn't impressive, unfortunately. I wanted more from him, and yeah, we're not seeing that upper velocity without good pitch shape, and the secondaries aren't really coming along. It's just unfortunate. Now, he's going to be 22 this year. Like, he turned 22 in November. He's still very young, and we might see something brand new from AJ Smith-Shawver in camp that demands an SP5 spot. So definitely monitor him in the spring, but I get the sense that AJ Smith-Shawver just isn't the prospect we want him to be. Dylan Dodd exists, and if you remember him like 2 years ago, him and Jared Schuster were both fighting for that SP5 spot. They both had sliders that they would do back foot to right-handers as lefties, and yeah, they both did not really pan out. I don't think Dylan Dodd does anything else interesting. I don't want to do this. Davis Daniel is here, and you thought he was on the Angels. Nope, he's here, and yeah, no. It's just not that very good. you don't want Atlanta to have Davis Daniel in a rotation, but really I think they got him just because, okay, what if none of these guys look good? Fine, here's something in Davis Daniel, but yeah, you don't want this. As far as prospects, there really isn't anything to be excited about either. But Hurston Waldrop, no. No, he doesn't have a good fastball. His splitter is his best pitch, and you know how I feel about that. And there is a slider in there. I don't really trust it that much. He's a reliever in my book. I don't want to touch Hurston Waldrep. Robert Salinas is back. He used to be an Athletic. Actually, Atlanta traded him with Freddie Tarnock in the Sean Murphy deal. And now they've got him back because Salinas got shoulder surgery, missed a lot of 2024, and she missed half of 2025. Obviously not a thing for this year. I just think it's pretty cool that Robert Salinas is here. And I used to think of him as this big kitchen sink fellow that threw kind of hard. And I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. But yeah, we're going to wait until next year to see that. Drew Hackenberg exists. And he has spent some time in AAA. He had a 16 strikeout game, but hasn't replicated double-digit strikeouts otherwise. There's just not much here for me to feel excited about him. He might get some starts because he's in AAA, but yeah, there's not much here. There's Giancarlo Lara. Let's go with that. He sits mid to upper 90s with a high 80 slider. It's just he doesn't have a ton of control, and also it's two pitches. It kind of has a massive reliever risk to him. I'm curious when I get data in AAA if he's adding extra stuff and he has better command overall, but yeah, I'm not quite there with Lara yet. And then Lucas Braun is a crossbody right-hander who has better feel than most doing that with 10% walk rates in the minors. So it was interesting to see that he still had an impressive about 27% strikeout rate in AA while keeping like an 8% walk rate and like, you know, good swing strike rate numbers as well. But I wonder if the heater is good enough. It's a really nice slider, but I don't know if there's enough there to really be a major impact in the majors. That is it for Atlanta. Pretty easy one here. We've got more guys coming. You know it. As I go through two teams for the rest of this week as we lead up to spring training. But that is it. So my name is Nick Pollock. And may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.